A historic night at the arena. A lot of fun, a lot of good, but I think it's only fair to start with the bad news first. I feel like that's what people normally like, by the way. You get that dilemma, hey, you want good news or bad news? You want to get that bad news first? I promise I'll try to be brief, but we have to be brief tonight. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan until 7:30. Joel Nelson is with me behind the glass. We will have our usual Thursday night fun. We will pick the Thursday night game. Joel will put together a same game parlay. I believe we have back-to-back winners from our guy Joel. Back-to-back weeks, that same game parlay he put together hit. I might be incorrect about last week, but I don't think I am. And tonight we have Broncos and Saints. If you don't have Amazon Prime, you can listen to that game right here on 93.7 The Fan or on your Odyssey app, courtesy of the NFL on Westwood One. But Joel, when you are thrown into that dilemma, you get that, you know, maybe you're told to sit down and you say, hey, I got good news and bad news. What do you want first? You almost always pick the bad news first.
Yeah, it's got to be the bad news first. Yes. Just get that out of the way, you know.
Yeah, you want to end with something positive.
End on a good note.
So that's what we will do here. And by the way, you can chime in if you were at the game last night to see the historic point and historic goal for Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby. Feel free to chime in on your experience at 412-928-9370. The Penguins won 6-5 in overtime. A fun game, an exciting game. Again, some big accolades being reached that we will get to in a moment. But there currently is still a pretty big issue with this hockey team. Now, they are scoring more than I expected. I don't know what the projection was with them, but they are scoring a lot of goals early in the season. So that is nice to see. Outside of that first game where they got boat raced by the Rangers, they have put up multiple 5 and 6 goal efforts. But the goaltender they paid big money to and gave a 5-year deal to is allowing more than they can probably score. To put it bluntly here, their goalie sucks. Tristan Jarry sucks. He sucks. Maybe he has the yips or something like that. I don't know. I mean, think of a Pirates graded comparison here. Steve Blass coming off some great seasons. The guy had the yips later in his career, and he was done. But here's a big difference there between those two. Steve Blass pitched the game of his life to help the Pirates win a World Series. How do you think Tristan Jarry would do if he was an MLB pitcher, Joel? He's starting Game 7 of the World Series. Just based on the history that we have seen from Tristan Jarry as a goaltender in big games, how do you think he would look in a Game 7 situation? He's the guy out on the mound. A little cross-sport chat here with playoff baseball going on.
You think he'd be on the playoff roster in the first place?
I wouldn't put him there.
I'd rather him not have to start Game 7.
Maybe it'll
be a bullpen game. He goes like one inning.
Yeah, I think he would get rocked. He'd be that guy that goes out there and gives you like 2 innings, and it's 7-1 by the time he exits the game, and your team is pretty much dead in the water. But I think no matter what it is, he is just a bad player. He is not a good player. They gave him a 5-year deal. They gave him money. Now, hockey, the money looks a little bit different than it does compared to other sports. The amounts are not asinine that what most players are getting. But I think it is only a matter of time before he is benched for the second consecutive season on this 5-year deal. You have Blomqvist behind him. Nobody knows how to pronounce that guy's name, by the way. He's behind him. He came in relief again. The Penguins win the game. Now, he wasn't outstanding, but he was a whole hell of a lot better than what Tristan Jarry gave them. Nedeljkovic will be back eventually. I really think we could get to the point where Jarry finds himself benched. and they shouldn't be afraid to do that. Now, maybe the contract and the financials will make them afraid to do that. But listen, you know you only have a window that is getting smaller and smaller. It is closing more and more by the year. If you really want to believe, as long as we have 87 and 71 and 58 on this team, and 65 for the time being, as long as we have those guys, we consider ourselves a live animal if we ever get to the postseason again. They've missed it for back-to-back years. I think you have to be willing to make that change. They did it last season. I applaud them for that. Nedeljkovic was the guy they rode on last season when things were on the line. Now, did they end up getting to the playoffs? No. I'm not going to blame the backup goaltender for that. We saw what happened seasons prior to this when Jari was in playoff games, when Jari did have to win big games down the stretch of a season, and he would lose to bad teams, or he would get beat up and spit out. It wasn't pretty. He was horrendous last night. Horrendous. I'm barely sitting down for dinner. It's already 1-0. I'm barely putting the first bite of food in my mouth, and it's 2-0. The Penguins get one quickly right back, which was very nice. And then on about my fourth or fifth bite of dinner, it's 3-1. It was a disaster in that first period, and his name was all over it. He was horrendous last night. He's been pretty horrendous to start the season. And I don't know, maybe this is just me always being anti-Jari. I didn't think he was all that great before. Let's be real. I said I would be brief there. I think that was pretty brief to get into the negatives of things. I promised I wouldn't dive into the negatives there and what was a historic night and what was a Penguins victory. So it is time to get to the good. You heard the two calls there. The national broadcast last night on TNT. Sidney Crosby achieving his 16,000th point. Or 1,600th point, sorry. Could be 16,000 by the time that dude's done. 1,600 points last night. And a little bit later, Evgeny Malkin netted goal number 500. A huge night for maybe the best duo in the history of Pittsburgh sports. I will name my top five in a little bit. By the way, Joel, and if you want to chime in with any that I miss, feel free to do so. Pony and I did this around 3:30 today. You can go back and check that out on the Odyssey app. If not, just stay tuned a few minutes from now, and I will give my top five. Both guys had big nights, one with 4 points, the other with 3 points. They helped lead the Penguins back from a massive hole that Tristan Jarry dug for them in that first period. These guys truly are two of the most special athletes this city has ever seen. They are. Sometimes you don't realize it in the time that it's happening. And you think, well, are they really that good? Are they as good as this duo? Are they as good as that duo? Are they as good as that player? But they truly are. They truly are. They've been playing together for almost 2 decades. We don't see that often, especially this day and age in professional sports. They've been playing together for 19 seasons. And they have mostly been great. Now, Gino gets some flack, but he is still playing at a high level. In fact, going into tonight, he leads the National Hockey League in points. In 2024, he leads the NHL in points. Sidney Crosby is, to me, like the Bret Hart of hockey. And this is a good thing. This is a very good thing. First off, just a little funny tie-in that they're both Canadian. They are both in the argument of greatest ever at what they do. One of them a hockey player, the other one a professional wrestler. They are both absolute technical masters of their given crafts. And they are also very tight-knit, very straight-edge, and borderline boring people. Now, again, I'm not complaining about that in any way with Sidney Crosby. I wish that we had more like that. There are plenty of guys who are getting themselves in the news and in the headlines for the wrong reasons. I mean, Sidney Crosby is one of the single most impressive athletes that I have ever seen in any sport. Not only is the ability on the field or on the ice or on the court at a legendary level, a top 5 to top 10 ever level, you have no idea what the dude does outside of the game he plays. No idea. The most I've ever heard, we've gotten some stories out of our pal Tyler Kennedy, who joins us every Wednesday at 2:35. Now, TK, if you can't tell already, great dude, fun dude. You could tell that our buddy TK liked to get after it a little bit in his playing days. And he would tell us a few times, he's told us a few stories about Sidney Crosby that, yeah, Sid would go to the bar with us. He'd hang out for a little bit. He'd maybe have one drink. He'd have a water right next to him. He always likes being in charge of the situation. That spoke volumes to me, because that's not easy for people to do. People go out in those settings and think, you know, I want to let off some steam. I want to hang out with the boys. I want to get after it. I don't want to have any responsibilities. And Crosby, he doesn't really flip that switch. He keeps in mind the repercussions if something would happen in a night out on the South Side, or, you know, if he's not in control of a given situation. And that is something that is very admirable about the player. These guys have been outstanding role models that have molded young hockey players in this area and across the country, Canada, wherever, for the last 20 years. There are dozens upon dozens of guys, young players in the league right now, who I'm sure if you talked about their favorite players growing up, you'd hear the names Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin probably in the first couple of guesses. Crosby probably within the first three names you hear. Malkin probably within the first 5 to 10 names you hear. It's been awesome to watch these guys in this time span. I was in elementary school when they started playing. I was in, I think, third or fourth grade, their first season together. I mean, think about that. We're 20 years beyond that. I'm 6 years out of college now. I'm talking on a radio station that I grew up listening to. And these guys have been playing at an extremely high level, and they've been fantastic citizens off the ice in that entire time span. Before I was even in middle school or high school, long before that, I was still having recess every day when these two guys started in the National Hockey League. And they've been some of the best players in the game the whole time. Maybe Geno's game has dipped a little bit. Still a better player than what he gets credit for. But Sidney Crosby has been outstanding every single season. He went through his concussion issues. A lot of people worried, hey, how would this guy look when he comes back? The man has been a beast of a player. And I don't think these guys are really all that close to being done. I feel like they could actually play for 3 or 4 or 5 more years. It all depends on their health and what they, how they feel like they want to go out and finish their respective careers. They have lifted the cup 3 times. The most of any duo in team history. The number of memories produced by this pair, almost unmatched. And I also feel like, and Joel, I'll be interested if you have this viewpoint. And again, if you are out there listening, you went to the game last night, maybe you just watched the game, maybe you watch all the games or listen to the games, however you take them in, I want to hear from you and your experience. 412-928-9370. I feel like there is something with the fan base where it's like not a bad divide. It's almost like a more of a lighthearted, you know, fun type thing. But I feel like there is something where you find yourself more of an Evgeny Malkin fan or more of a Sidney Crosby fan. You don't dislike either player. You love both players, but maybe you just find yourself more relatable to one than the other. Like me, for instance, Joel, I've always been more of a Geno guy. I will acknowledge that Crosby has been and pretty much always has been the better all-around player. But maybe it's because of the fire and the passion that we see from Geno on the ice sometimes. We rarely get that from Sid because, again, always in control of the situations, always has that even keel mindset where Geno can get a little fired up. People get angry at him because then he may take a stupid penalty. But whether it's that, the celebrations he will have after a big goal, you know, his parents, they used to go to all these games in the playoffs and they'd show them just in the crowd and people loved it. Whether he says, "I am score," you know, still, you know, trying to learn the English language 20 years later. Whatever it may be, like, I feel like there is a funny thing with Penguins fans where they love both players, but they do kind of like one guy more than the other. Do you sense that with either of them? Like, do you have a preference? Like, I have always been more in the Evgeny Malkin camp.
Yeah, I'd say I'm more in the Crosby camp, but of course, you know, got a good appreciation for Malkin. I think just the things that Crosby is doing at the level that he's doing and at the age he is right now is just incredible, and he makes some crazy, cool, excellent, wild passes. You know, even when he doesn't score, he's got some really good dishes that maybe Evgeny Malkin doesn't necessarily get, but whatever Crosby does, they both are incredible to watch. Crosby, just a little bit of an edge. I didn't really think about that between the two players like you brought up, but now I can kind of see it, and you explained it pretty perfectly.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know what it is. Maybe even playing like the video games as a kid, I thought Malkin was more fun of a player. Maybe. I don't know. For whatever it is, I've just always been more on the Evgeny Malkin side, but I love both players. I'm very grateful that I've gotten to witness them play together and win three championships for this city in the last 20 years. And you know I'm not the biggest hockey guy, and the people out there listening know I'm not the biggest hockey guy, but I can still take moments like this to appreciate the greatness that I have gotten to witness in front of me. I mean, they have a brotherly-like bond that is also really, really cool. I mean, I got to witness Crosby's 500th goal in person. I wish I could have been there last night to see Geno, but I do want to hear from you if you were at the game, if you watched it home, no matter how you took it in. 412-928-9370. You call, we answer. 412-928-9370. I also want to give my top five Pittsburgh sports duos of all time. I will do that in a little bit. It is a short one with us tonight. We're only together for about another hour, but you can react to that as well at 412-928-9370. Were you at the game last night? What do Geno and Sid mean to the Penguins, mean to the city, mean to you? 412-928-9370. Do you have a favorite of the two? It might be a slight edge, but do you have one that you like more than the other? And you can even give your favorite Pittsburgh sports duo while you are at it. 412-928-9370. The fan text line, that is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Pet Fest 24 presented by Subaru is October 27th at Rockwell Park in the East End. The event runs from 9:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Bring your four-legged friends to meet vendors, participate in costume contests, get photos with Santa, and join in the blessing of the pets at 9:30. Donation at the door benefits the Salvation Army. Pet Fest is brought to you by Bully Max Dog Food and Forever Lawn. For more information, go to 937thefan.com. Talking Penguins right now, a historic night at PPG Paints Arena. Point number 1,600 for Sidney Crosby. Goal number 500 for Evgeny Malkin. First, though, Joel, that Pet Fest thing. I know that you put it on the sheet. I have to read it. I just read it. Photos with Santa on October 27th. We going a little bit early there?
That's what it's telling me.
No, I believe you. Do you think that's a little bit early for photos with Santa? We're not even at Halloween.
The unwritten rule. man.
I think it's got to be tough. At least November, man, right?
Yeah,
it's got to be at least November.
But at the same time, maybe like early November once Halloween is done. But at the same time, this is only, you know, just a couple days before November starts. So
November 1.
Might be good
November
enough.
November 1. I let you open it up. Put up your decorations whenever. Christmas music. I love Christmas music, by the way. I do. I'm that's one of the guilty pleasures of mine. But yeah, I don't know. October 27th, picture with Santa. It seems a little bit early. Maybe I'll have like a Scream mask on or something. Maybe a Michael Myers mask. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation on the Penguins right now in the historic night at PPG Paints Arena. Maybe you were at the game. Maybe these guys just mean a whole lot to you like they do to me and many other Penguins fans out there. 412-928-9370. We will start with Jen in Center Township. Hey, Jen.
Hey, Donnie. How's it going?
Great. What's on your mind?
Good. One, what's your favorite Christmas song since you're talking about Christmas songs?
Rocking Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee. That's a really big one for me.
Pretty classic.
Yeah, and Jingle Bell Rock by Bobby Helms.
There you go. Can't argue. Can't argue with those.
So, what's on your mind?
So my husband and I watched the game last night to see, you know, Sidney Crosby's goal, his milestone along with Malkin's. And one, I was thinking, there's no way they can blow this game after both of these guys hit milestones. You know, I'm like, what are the odds? But I was looking up stats, and they said Malkin, back when Sid scored his 500th goal on February 15th, 2022, he had the lone assist. So I feel like it's very fitting that Crosby then had the goal on, you know, the assist on Malkin's goal. So I feel like it's just like karma, you know, coming back to play. Those two are always helping each other out. I mean, and I even said to my husband, the whole team comes out and, you know, rushes him for the goal and everything. And I was like, you know what, that's awesome. Like, if that doesn't show you what a leader he is and everything, I don't know what does.
Yeah, Jen, I completely agree. I saw that same stat last night, and thank you for the call. And thank you for the Christmas song chatter as well there at the beginning. Yeah, I thought that was really cool that Malkin had the helper on Crosby's 500th goal, and then Crosby had the helper on Geno's 500th goal. It would have, I think, made it even wilder if Crosby did not get a point earlier in the game. And it would have been, well, what happens now? Because the assist got Crosby number 1,600. The goal got Geno number 500. That was something we also discussed with Tyler Kennedy yesterday. And TK said, well, those two, they'd probably cut the puck in half and each take a half. I could also see Crosby giving Geno the puck there just because 500 goals, that, you know, there's like a club for that. You know, you're in the 500 goal club. You're not really in the 1,600 point club. Now, maybe a more impressive accolade when it's all said and done, a lot higher number, but there's not really a club for 1,600. 412-928-9370. Lee is next. What's up, Lee?
Hey, how doing, Donnie?
Good. What's on your mind, Lee?
First time caller, never called at a radio station, but what you said about Geno, I can't agree with you more. Crosby, most certainly, the talented man that he is, but Geno's got that little fire in him, mm-hmm. doesn't he?
Yeah, Lee, I mean, I completely agree, and thank you for the call. Call back in anytime. I think there is something that, like, makes him more relatable. You know, maybe it's, like, that element of him being a human. Like, Crosby, he's almost, like, too perfect of an athlete where it doesn't even feel human. He feels like he's not from this planet because he is phenomenal at what he does, and then he has managed, even in the era of social media and everything being on film, he has managed to have the most quiet lifestyle you could possibly have in a time where it's nearly impossible to do so. And on the ice, he's always level-headed. We see the rare blow-up from Sid. And it's like a big deal if it happens. It's like a headline if Crosby gets into a fight. Geno, I think he has like that more human element to him that makes him a little bit more relatable in that sense. 412-928-9370. Would love to keep taking your calls on this. The history that was made last night at PPG Paints Arena. The Penguins coming from behind twice in the game to win 6-5 in overtime. Maybe you were at the game last night. Maybe Sid and Geno just mean a whole lot to you. Who's your favorite out of the two? You heard there. Somebody else on my side. Geno, the slight favorite, even though Crosby the better player. Also, favorite Pittsburgh sports duos. You can give me yours. I'm going to share mine. My top five Pittsburgh sports duos of all time. That is coming up next. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Donnie Football with you until 7:30 tonight. We are going to get into the Steelers quarterback situation in a few moments. Once we get into the 7 o'clock hour, as we finish things up tonight, because Russell Wilson will start. Justin Fields spoke to the media earlier today. Well, they both did. And then we will make our picks for Thursday Night Football. Joel Nelson with me behind the glass. Joel, back-to-back weeks, correct, that you hit your same-game parlays. You put them out here for people. And I know 2 weeks ago we got it. Did it hit last week? I thought it did.
I'm going to have to go back and check what it was. I think it did.
I remember us texting during the game, and I was pretty sure it actually hit. So you're going to want to listen to this guy. Joel will give his best bets, his same game parlay for the Thursday night game. Saints and Broncos, some fun little storylines there. Of course, Sean Payton going back to New Orleans for the first time. Couple of rookie quarterbacks now facing off. And I believe that provided one of the largest gaps between quarterbacks picked in a draft in league history. Bo Nix was taken, I think he was the fifth quarterback taken in the first round by the Broncos. Spencer Rattler was not taken until like the fourth or fifth round. They went multiple rounds before another quarterback got called. And Spencer Rattler was the one that did get called. 412-928-9370. We're talking about the Penguins last night. If you were at the game, you got to see some history there with Evgeny Malkin, Sidney Crosby. You got to witness Sidney Crosby collect point number 1,600. You got to witness Evgeny Malkin collect goal number 500. Were you in the building? How'd you take the game in? What do those guys mean to you as a Penguin fan? Are they the best Pittsburgh sports duo all time? 412-928-9370. Teal is in the car. What's up, Teal?
Hey, Donnie, it's Mike Teal. Sorry, I didn't make it clear enough for Joel.
Up, dude?
I apologize. How's it going, man?
Good, good. What's on your mind?
Good, man. I was in the building last night, at the Pens game, and I really, loved that it was two different moments, if I'm being honest. Sid got his moment with 1,600, and obviously Malkin got his with 500 scoring, probably, the best way that Geno can. But in my mind, those are by far the top sports duo in Pittsburgh sports in my lifetime, at least. Obviously I wasn't around for, Yager, Lemieux, that kind of thing. Ben and AB is great, but I mean, three championships from those two guys, it's hard to beat. So I felt like it was a different atmosphere in the building, which was a lot of fun, and excited to see what they can do the rest of the year.
Who got the bigger ovation on their accolade?
I think it was Geno, man. Cause he got it kind of a couple of different times, which was cool. But Crosby got, obviously, Crosby got a big one, but, I definitely think it was Geno, cause he got a couple of different ones, especially during the TV timeout.
There we go. Thanks for the call, Mike. I appreciate it. Mike, a good friend of one of my good pals, little Joe Smelter, who covers Penn State football. So Geno gets the bigger – I think that's fair, Geno getting the bigger ovation last night. I mean, he got the goal, not just the assist. He got – that was more meaningful. Maybe if Crosby's point came on a goal that he scored, it would have been a little bit different. I also love that they didn't make the people wait too long for that to happen. It's not like it dragged on for a very long time and it took until the very end of the game. I remember the game where Sid got number 500. It happened, I think, within the first 10 minutes of the game. Very early, he got the job done. So that was really cool to hear from somebody in the building. 412-928-9370. Troy on the mount. What's up, man?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I got a comment about the Penguins, but first, I'm a big Halloween guy. I wish they could stretch Halloween and decorations and everything into November longer and not get to Christmas as fast. You said you like Christmas music better, but what movies do you like better, Halloween movies or Christmas movies?
Oh, Halloween movies, without a doubt. Yeah, I love scary movies, horror movies. So I'm definitely with you there, because I feel like that's the way you're leaning.
And which weather do you like better?
Oh, the fall weather is easily better. The fall weather is the best weather of the year. I think that's almost indisputable for me. Don't even start the argument.
Halloween. Yeah, that's why I like Halloween, man. It's just perfect. But in terms of the Penguins, I just always felt like, I don't know if it's just me, but I always felt like Malkin was like the other little brother, I felt like it was Peyton and Cooper, and he was Eli. And if you were making wrestling comparisons, I feel like, with Bret Hart being Sidney Crosby, that Malkin was the British Bulldog, and Owen Hart was Letang. It's Letang's the little brother, what I mean? And Malkin just always felt different. He felt not that he didn't belong, but he just stuck out. And I think we're going to be surprised, but don't be surprised with the energy he's bringing this year, that he's not in discussion for having the most points when this season ends, which is crazy to say.
Yeah, that would be awesome, Troy. And thank you for the call. I would love to see Geno keep up with, and it was probably near impossible to keep up this pace of what he's doing. But to see him have another big season, that would be awesome. He's clearly lost a step, but hey, maybe he can get a half step back. Who knows? Maybe he could surprise people. I would love for Geno to have a big season, because he's one that has gotten way more flack. Like I've said, people have jumped on his game for the last several years, and I've often wondered, he's still playing pretty well. I mean, there's moments where, yeah, he doesn't look as fast as he once was. The burst isn't quite there. But when he's on, he's on. And I would love to see that keep up as the season progresses. All right. The top five Pittsburgh sports duos of all time. Pony and I put this list together earlier. Well, it was mostly my list, and then he just had some thoughts on it here and there. Joel, feel free to chime in if you feel like I missed any. Number five, I go with Big Poison and Little Poison, Paul and Lloyd Wehner. Now, yeah, you're going to say these guys played 100 years ago. Nobody really got to watch them play. Nobody listening to you right now or nobody on social media got to watch them play. But a brother duo that played for the Pirates, two of them that are Hall of Fame players, Pirates Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame. Yeah, I think they earn a spot on this top five list. Number four, Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer. Maybe from an individual standpoint, Blyer probably a tad overrated. Now, the guy, an American hero, he served our country, he came back to football. This is the only running back tandem in league history to have four Super Bowls all together. Franco, obviously one of the most iconic individual plays in NFL history. But also, I think it's cool that the two of them together, both 1,000-yard rushers a couple of times in the same seasons. They both had a huge game in Super Bowl IX against the Vikings, that team that will be honored on Sunday night, and I can't wait for that. So they take a spot at number four. Number three, Lynn Swann and John Stallworth. Again, I think Lynn Swann, I've said this before, and I have no fear saying it, individual standpoint, I think Swann overrated as a player. Now, huge moments, massive moments, Super Bowl moments for Swann that people will remember forever. I think Stallworth, a much better and much more complete receiver in his own right. But again, huge moments in the Super Bowl. These guys, really one of the early great wide receiver duos in the history of the National Football League. And they were part of that Steelers dynasty in the 70s. Swann, Stallworth, they absolutely deserve to be on this list. Number two, Mario Lemieux, Jaromir Jagr. Here's what you're going to say. Well, those two guys, I mean, they're two of the most decorated hockey players in NHL history. I get that. I do. But when it comes to the duo and what they did together in Pittsburgh, they did win two Stanley Cups. They individually have some of the best statistical numbers that we have ever seen by anybody who's ever played hockey. However, their time together wasn't quite as much as the duo I'm going to put at number one. And you're going to maybe get mad about recency bias or something. But they take number two on this list because the other hockey guys who we have been talking about all night are number one. Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. Maybe from an individual standpoint, they're not quite to the level of Lemieux and Jagr. But as a duo, they have played together for nearly 20 years. They have lifted the Stanley Cup three times. Gino was a Conn Smythe winner in 2009. Crosby was the Conn Smythe winner in 16 and 17. They've made gigantic contributions every time this team has gone to great heights. They have the edge over Lemieux and Jagr in championships. They also have the edge quite easily when it comes to the years spent together. So that's my list, 5 through 1. The Wehner brothers, Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer at 4, Lynn Swann, John Stallworth at 3, Mario Lemieux, Jaromir Jagr at 2, Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin at 1. Any complaints there, any big omissions, Joel?
No, nothing. Maybe, do you think Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown could be an honorable mention? So, I know they had quite the thing going on before everything in AB's career post-Steelers. got crazy and wild, but while he was with the team and in his prime with Ben, they had pretty good connection.
See, there were a lot of people that pushed immediately back on that, and I get that. I mean, and I got to witness that duo play firsthand, and they were something special, no doubt. But I've had other duos pop into my mind before them. Like, maybe, yeah, they could be an honorable mention if I list, like, four or five. Jack Hamm and Jack Lambert, absolutely a top-tier honorable mention. You could go, in this case with the Pirates, either Stargell with Dave Parker or Stargell with Roberto Clemente. Maybe even both. I think they both deserve an argument there. Ben and AB, here's the big thing that's missing. Pretty much all of these combinations have a championship, and pretty much all of these combinations have stayed have kept a pretty strong relationship together. Now, should that be the end-all, be-all? No. It should be about what they did on the field. But Ben and AB, as great as they were, as great as those offenses were, they never brought us a title. And I think that certainly hurts them when you're ranking a list like this. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. First Fan Weather, that is brought to you by Sun Chevy. Check out 24 Silverado 1500s at 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Clear and chilly overnight. A frost advisory in effect. Low of 40. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7. The Fan. Fan text line, that's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Donnie Football with you for a little bit longer tonight. The NFL on Westwood One comes your way at 7:30. Pre-game coverage for Thursday Night Football. Saints and Broncos, we will pick that game in a few minutes. Joel will give a same-game parlay, maybe another bet he wants to throw in. He's red hot. He's like those ads you hear on the station. I'm Joel Nelson, and I'm on fire. And he's not even making you call some sort of special hotline to get that information. What's the term the guy uses? It's like confirmed analysis or something.
Confirmed analysis.
Confirmed analysis. I got the side and total. Well, Joel's going to give it to you for free in about 5 minutes. But I do want to talk about the Steelers quarterback situation, because we're going to witness some history on Sunday night, people. The debut of a possible future Hall of Famer. The debut of a Super Bowl champion. The debut of one of the best quarterbacks of the 2010s. Plenty from this fan base is ready to see it. Plenty from this fan base isn't really ready to see it. We will see Russell Wilson take snaps as the Steelers' starting quarterback in a regular season game. Telling high school me this would have led to me jumping for joy, and it was still cool when they signed him off the street in the offseason, don't get me wrong. That also just goes to show you how bad the quarterback situation has been here since Ben Roethlisberger was in his final couple of seasons and since he walked out that door. Then the sled machine monster came after Russell Wilson. Then he re-aggravated that calf injury right before the start of the regular season. Then we got the runaround on when Russell Wilson would finally suit up. And I don't mean as the emergency third quarterback. He was so, so close to playing in week one. And then he sat out for the next month and then some. But the curiosity factor is still there with Russell Wilson. Now, he was not good in 2022. I thought he was better than he has gotten credit for last season. Now, some people disagree. They think it was garbage time stats. They don't think anything he did was impressive. I mean, just the stats on the surface, they looked a whole lot better than anything we had seen in this city in the last couple of seasons, so maybe that's why it's easy to get overly excited about it. But then again, stats are for losers, is what we were told the other day. I will give Justin Fields a lot of credit, too. He led the Steelers to a 4-2 start. He has them even for first place in the AFC North. 10 total touchdowns, one interception. Statistically, he has better numbers than a lot of quarterbacks who have gotten paid, and paid a lot. He's been close to a few other turnovers, and now he has lost his job, at least for now. And here's what he said today. I thought this was the big money quote out of the chat with Steelers media.
Justin, is it a little frustrating if you don't start considering how you played the first six games?
I mean, I don't think I played, you know, good enough, if I'm being real with you. If I'm being real with myself, I think if, you know, I did play well enough, I don't think there would be, you know, any sort of who should be playing, who should not. So at the end of the day, you know, we got a few wins. Of course, I'm glad about that. But, you know, there's areas that, you know, I could be better at. And, you know, I'm just going to, you know, continue to work on those and continue to get better.
That takes a lot of maturity. That takes mental growth. That takes some leadership skills there, some accountability. I think Mr. Fields is playing this from a very smart perspective. He knows that his time in Chicago didn't buy him much leeway at all with his NFL future. He was in a position where he had to put his head down and go about his business from a humble corner. And through the first 6 weeks of this NFL season, he played some of his cleanest football that we have seen so far in his career. And he was doing it while being the Steelers' starting quarterback. But he has no problem today saying he wasn't good enough. Why is that smart? Well, unlike some others who may say they didn't or can't learn anything from the bench, nudge, nudge, Fields is open to it. He seems like a coachable and teachable player, which has to be a breath of fresh air. That goes a long way. He is showing the Steelers, a franchise that leans more heavily than any I've ever seen, on loyalty and stability and longevity, everything they have with the coaches and the ownership and the management. I think he knows the type of organization he is in. So he is showing the Steelers, hey, here's what I did already playing for you in 6 weeks. I still believe there's a lot for me to learn. I am showing you how coachable and teachable I can be, and I'm going to keep my head up and my mouth shut, and I'm going to work on being the best player I can be, the best teammate I can be. Sounds like a simple concept, but you'd be surprised at the amount of players that can't put it all together. Fields has showed them a ton, I thought, today with his words, by how he went about that chat with the media. He took a personal accountability for his play. He didn't blame anybody. He showed a lot of maturity, which I think will be vital. Because if he wants to be the future of this franchise after Russell Wilson, he wants to be able to point at himself and say, hey, look at how I handled things when I got benched, when I got passed over. Look at how I handled things. I stayed loyal to you and this organization, and I learned from it. All right, Joel, hit the music. Let's pick the game, baby. Thursday Night Football, Denver, -2.5 now at New Orleans. Joel, I will start with this. I am taking the Saints.
Wow.
I think the Saints are going to win this game outright. I think Sean Payton will be too emotional going into this game. I think that will bite him in the ass. And honestly, I think Spencer Rattler might be a better quarterback than Bo Nix. Give me the Saints to not only cover the 2.5, they will win the game outright at home.
Wow. I like it, Donnie. I'm going to be on the opposite side. I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos this evening. The Saints are without Chris Olave and without Rashid Shaheed and with Spencer Rattler. I mean, those are a couple of guys who would make his job really easy in just his second start, filling in for Derek Carr. We'll see how it goes between Nix and Rattler, but I'm going to lean with the Broncos in this one. Just the fact that, Spencer Rattler's top receiver tonight, if it's not Alvin Kamara out of the backfield, it might be former Pitt Panther Bub Means. And so, and he's only had, I mean, he had a touchdown last week, a couple other catches. That's been his only game this year, pretty much. So I like Denver tonight, minus the 2.5.
All right, Joel, your same game parlay and your best bet for tonight.
Tonight's same game parlay, Cortland Sutton of Denver, 25 receiving yards. Alvin Kamara, 3 receptions, and Bo Nix to throw a touchdown, plus 105. Best bet tonight, Alvin Kamara touchdown, minus 115.
Oh, there we go. Thank you, Joel. A phenomenal job. As always, these shows fly by ahead of Thursday Night Football. Thanks to the folks who chimed in and joined the conversation as well. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You will hear me with Joe Starkey tomorrow. And then next week with the guys, but before then also Steelers Black and Gold Game Day on Sunday ahead of Sunday Night Football. Donnie Football signing off on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.